thank you, Pastor Josh. Thank you for filling in. Him and Diane have filled in for the Dellers as they're traveling. So thank you for that. Kids, if you want to head out to Junior Church with Ms. Van Aal and Pastor Josh, head out. The rest of us, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll take our Bibles and turn there. Again, these are hard times, and I appreciate you giving me a card and Taco Bell. You know how much I enjoy Taco Bell. I will take Pastor Josh there, but I know you appreciate it, appreciate me and the work we do. I know that, but I appreciate you folks so much and your faithfulness, even in midst of battles and struggles. You still stay faithful, and let's let God do something special with us during this time. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul got to chapter 12, and in chapter 11, he talked about the Lord's table and how it was being abused and misused. And since chapter 7, Paul has, in the book of 1 Corinthians, dealt with problems because he got a letter from some good Christians in the church and said, Paul, we're having some major issues. We're having some major problems, and we need you to give us wisdom. We need to give us advice. And again, the Faith Baptist Church and in Christianity, we don't have all these problems that they had, but you can begin to see them coming up, and there's some good wisdom behind it. So in chapter 11, he covered the Lord's Supper. In chapter 12, he said, now, secondly, I'm going to cover the gifts. He sees the value of understanding your gifts and using their gifts, and people were using their gifts in a wrong way. They were saying that Jesus was accursed. And Paul said that you should understand from scriptures, you have to understand your gift, because gifts are so important to the growth of the church, to the growth of the body of Christ, to the maturity. And without the gifts and applying the gifts, the church will never become. And you heard me say this before. We see just the natural in our churches today. You know, just the simple fellowship and the joy we have in fellowship with one another and the little things that happen. But God intended for the supernatural to happen. But you can't do it. I can't do it. But God can through the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking weird things. I'm not talking just things that are out of this world. But I'm talking the supernatural, the God thing. Now, we've seen that a number of times in this church. There's some folks sitting in this building right now that shouldn't be sitting in this building right now. But God overtook and overcame some things that were incredible. There's people by the sound of my voice, they can hear my voice. They're not here, but God has done some just amazing things in their life. That's the supernatural. But that comes as we begin to apply the gifts. And so Paul knew the value of the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that they're being used and misused and abused and unused. And he said, we've got to. So he begins to go through and list the gifts. I said this last week. To understand this, you must realize that God wants you to know your gift. God wants you to know your gift. But number two, there must be an obedience to God. If you're not obedient to God's word and you're not obedient in your life and living a godly life, then it doesn't make sense. It doesn't matter if you know your gift. The Holy Spirit's not going to use you. So you gotta want to know your gift. Number two, you've gotta live in the power of the Spirit of God. You've got to live in obedience to the word of God. Number three, you need to devote yourself to do your best to meet the needs you see. Say, well, you know, again, Paul doesn't list the gifts exactly like they are, and he doesn't even describe them or identify them, really, in the scripture. But because he didn't want you to just say, well, that's my gift, and that's all I'll do. Well, that's not my gift. Boy, the Apostle Paul said, if you see a need, do it. And it may be your gift, but it may not be your gift. You know, I've tried to demonstrate that. I do not have the gift of showing mercy. That's not my gift. But this week, there was a need, and I had to show mercy. This week, there was a need that people needed something from me. And it's a need. So, you know, whether you've got the gift or not, you fill the need. And it's very difficult for me to do that. It's not something that comes easy for me. But yet it's a need. So you've got to see the need and try to fill the need. And then number four, it helps if you understand what the gifts are. And so I'm going to sort of define them for you. Now, again, you could read many different authors and commentaries and come up with different ideals from these. But these are ways I've tried to make it practical to you. And I want you to at least desire to know your gift. And so the first one we covered was the gift of knowledge. The gift of knowledge was, could have been, some say, could have been just not a permanent gift, but I believe it's a permanent gift. I believe the gift of knowledge is something that people have an understanding. God gives them ability to have an understanding. They're the ones who write the commentaries, as I said last week. Have you ever thought about who writes the commentaries? Now, I get to read the commentaries, and it helps me to understand the passage. But I could read that passage and not begin to understand it because I don't have that gift of knowledge. Many of do. A person with a gift of knowledge has the ability to see something and know how it could be handled, how it could be put together, how it could work. It's more than just the Bible, but there's the gift of knowledge. There's the gift of prophecy. It's not foretelling. It's not telling the future. It's not telling something that's happened, that's going to happen, that hasn't happened, but it's telling us, reiterating what's already been given to us. But they speak it boldly. The gift of prophecy is there for the proclamation of God. And again, not receiving new words, but reiterating the old book. The gift of prophecy is the one that has the more confrontation. They'll want to go and give the gospel. They see the pathway somebody's going down. And if you have the gift of prophecy, you can see where they're heading. You know the road they're on. And if it's a bad road, or you can see the consequences. But you have the ability to go to them and confront them with the truth. Confront them and be not out of a cocky, arrogant way, but in a loving way. That's the gift of prophecy. They're the watchdogs of the church. They make sure about the doctrine and different things that the pastor stays online. And if I go off in a certain area, they're the ones that are going to confront me because they see it. They're consumed with doctrine. They're consumed with scriptures. And so that's the gift of prophecy. There's the gift of wisdom. That's what I believe I have. I don't believe I have the gift of teaching, even though I love to teach. But I don't think it's my gift, but the gift of wisdom is to take in the knowledge that others have and bringing it down in a practical way. That's the idea behind the gift of wisdom. It basically is applying the truth that they discover from other people, and they make skillful and applicable applications to life situations. A pastor who has the gift of wisdom tries to draw you to making a decision, and that's what I try to do. I like you to come to a point where you make a decision. That's wisdom. But there is a gift of teaching that some of you may have. If you have the gift of teaching, that doesn't mean everybody that's a teacher has the gift of teaching. I try to teach, but I don't have the gift of teaching. But the gift of teaching knows the facts. They've got to know the facts. And if you have the gift of teaching, number one, you're going to teach because that's all you're going to be happy doing. But number two, you're gonna give them information that you've gathered. You're a gatherer of information. You want to know your topic or your subject. I said it like this. A person who doesn't have the gift of teaching may take his quarterly lesson on Saturday afternoon or Saturday night and read through his quarterly and then teach that lesson. And those quarterlies have some wonderful lessons in them. And that's very usable. That's very, very workable for a teacher to read through a lesson and then give it. But the gift of teaching, you'll take that lesson and you'll ponder over it throughout the week, and you'll add scripture to it. You'll add your thoughts to it. You may even look up some of the stuff in a commentary, and you'll bring that in because you want to get the kids or the students that you're teaching, whether they be adults or children. You want to give them all the information, and it's got to be accurate. It's got to be really so they have a better understanding of the topic. That's the gift of teaching. So there's a lot of teachers today that don't have the gift of teaching. But they do a really good job because they see a need and they meet the need. But if you have the gift of teaching, you need to be a teacher. You need to be applying what God's given to you. So that was the four we covered. These are the speaking gifts. But there's a fifth speaking gift, and then we'll get into the non-speaking gifts real quickly. But it's exhortation. That's the fifth gift, the gift of exhortation. The exhorter is a very practical person, makes a wonderful counselor. They're tolerant of others, but they're serious-minded. They're comfortable in talking to a group or they're talking one-on-one. It doesn't matter to them. They carry a burden to show how the scriptures relates to conduct. Now, if you have the gift of the first gift of prophecy, you're consumed with doctrine. But the exhorter is not so much concerned with doctrine, but they're concerned with applying the scriptures to practical living. They have a desire to unify people by practical situations rather than doctrinal issues. Now, they place a great importance on God's will and believe that the Bible is the answer to every problem. They tend to make decisions logically rather than feeling-oriented. A person who has the gift of exhortation is often involved in a ministry of counseling. They make wonderful counselors because they try to apply the scriptures to their lives, but they're concerned in the practical. That's why the gift of exhortation is wonderful, because it makes a wonderful counselor, but it also makes a good soul winner. You could be a good Sunday school teacher, but I think the thing that you stand out in is discipleship. You have a concern to grow. You see, you would be the one I would want to follow up on a new Christian. Somebody gets saved and they need to grow in the grace and knowledge. The person with the gift of exhortation would be the one to do that. They would want to give them a practical basis of growth in the Christian life. He thrives on motivating others. You know, a person with the gift of exhortation would work well in like a drug and alcohol problem program. Somebody who's dealing with those problems, they would work good at a rescue mission or a poverty program, a halfway house, a shelter for abused women and children. Again, they have a heart for that, but they're consumed with discipleship, growing, seeing somebody grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. They're the ones who would take a new convert and want to disciple them and grow them and see them grow. So again, we lack discipleship in fundamentalism today. It's a difficult thing to do. Now, it's not because people won't disciple, but people have busy schedules and putting them together. But the person with the gift of exhortation will really drive and just grow another Christian. And that's their desire. So if you have the gift of exhortation, it's wonderful. It could be discipling a group. It could be discipling in one-on-one. It could be just spending time with somebody to teach them, to grow them in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That would be your passion and desire. So the gift of prophecy proclaims the truth. The gift of wisdom applies the truth. The gift of knowledge clarifies the truth. The gift of teaching will impart the truth. But the gift of exhortation demands that it be obeyed. And so those are the speaking gifts. I believe those five are all gifts for today. Now, you can debate a couple of them, and that would be fine. But I think those are gifts for today. But there's some non-speaking gifts as well. Matter of fact, I found six that I believe are non-speaking gifts. So let me run through these quickly as I can. The non-speaking gifts, number one is ruling, government, organization, administration. That's why there could be somebody says there's 25 gifts and somebody says there's 17 gifts. Because I believe this gift, the gift of ruling as the Bible calls it, could be the same as, it comes from the same Greek word government, organization, administration. They all describe this gift. And they come from the Greek word kupernesis, which means one who steers a ship. And that makes good sense. It's the one who steers the ship, the captain, the one who has to make decisions, the one who sends the ship in the direction that it's going to go. That's the idea behind the gift of ruling, government, organization, administration. This gift gives one the ability to make decisions responsible of a leader. As an administrator, he becomes a take-charge person who could jump in and start giving orders when no one's in charge. He likes to organize things, events, programs, and people. He sees an objective. He sees something that needs to be done. He formalizes that objective, how to get it done, and then he immobilizes a group of people to get that objective done. He has that ability. He knows how to delegate to reach a goal. And that's why I struggle with this. I have a little bit of this gift because I needed it, but it's not because I'm gifted in this area. It's just not many people step up to this gift, the gift of organization, administration. But boy, they're crucial in a church. They could be wonderful for a church to be able to get things done. They know how to delegate. Listen, I would rather work alongside of people and learn from them and fellowship with them. I hate it when we have like a work day here and there's 7, 8, 9 different projects going on and I have to assign people to those projects and then I have to oversee it to make sure they're getting done if there's any needs and I don't get to literally physically do one of the projects. That's why this isn't my gift. But if you have that gift, you would have the ability to organize it, get the things ready and then tell people where to go and then you're just satisfied with going around and making sure the job gets done. That's the gift of organization or administration. He can discern how individuals can best serve within a ministry or a particular project. He will spot a need and will quickly act upon that need. You know, again, I could best describe it for you this way that to help you better understand it. There's two examples in the Bible, and there's many, but the two that stand out in my mind, number one is Nehemiah. Remember Nehemiah saw the burden under Cyrus as he was his cupbearer? And he saw the need for Jerusalem. He came down and saw the need that the walls were just in rumbles. Babylon had come in 70 years early and just destroyed all of Jerusalem. Now they'd come back to begin to rebuild the temple, but the walls were just in disarray. And he began to have a burden. Talk about the gift of administration, the gift of ruling. He organized people to leave Babylon to come down and to rebuild the walls when these weren't builders. These weren't construction people. These were just godly people who came back that wanted a burden to get back into their nation, bring Israel back as a nation into Jerusalem. And so he had every conflict you could find in Scripture. He had people attacking him. He had people mocking him. He had people that were creating tax laws and all the things that were happening around him. Yet Nehemiah was an organizer and got people organized. And in 52 days, they'd been working on the temple for 2 years. And in 52 days, he rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. He had that gift, that ability. Now, he didn't do all the work. I bet you he didn't do a portion, not even a slight portion of the work because he was busy organizing everything. He had to have people in the right place at the right time. But that's what happens in a church when somebody has this gift and will take the church and get it organized and has that ability to that it works together and accomplishes the goals that set forth. That's the gift. You know, Jethro, and I can't take very long in this, but Jethro's father-in-law of Moses. Jethro was the father-in-law of Moses, and Moses came, and if you'll find this in Exodus chapter 18, if you want to look it up. But Moses, from early morning to late at night, was meeting with the people and giving them the word. They came to understand the law. They didn't know how to interpret the law. They didn't know how to do it. So they were bringing case after case, whether it had been a divorce, whether it had been a financial thing, case after case. And there was a line from early morning to late at night. And Jethro came down and saw him doing this. And he said, Moses, this is ridiculous. Number one, it's going to kill you. It's going to wear you out. You can't do anything else but judge the people. And he said, and then the people are wasting an entire day because they're waiting in a line, some of them all day, just to get some advice from you, just to get an interpretation of the law from you. He said, Moses, here's what you need to do. You need to get some men under you to handle the big cases, a smaller group. And then you need to get a bigger group that would handle the lesser cases. Even down to the point where you get a bigger group to handle just the simple situations that these people can go to. Now, you continue to handle the hard cases, the Supreme Court cases. You make final judgment, but get these people and get them together. And Moses listened to Jethro, and I'm telling you, it changed the organization of Israel because he was an administrator. He had a vision to help Moses to see that he could not do it all, but Moses wasn't a delegator. He couldn't delegate. He didn't see the need to delegate. But Jethro did, and it transformed the policies and the governmental issues that went forth in Jerusalem. That's the gift of a gift of administration, the gift of ruling, the gift of government. It's a wonderful gift to have. And you're not being arrogant and cocky if you have that gift. If you have the ability, I welcome that to for projects, for different things. If you feel like you have that gift and that's your gift, boy, that we could that applies. It helps us to get so much more done. That's the gift of government or ruling, administration. But secondly, there's the gift of serving or helps. It could be called ministry. That's why, again, there's many titles for this: serving, help, ministry. You might find those in different people. They might have serving and ministry as different gifts, but I believe they're all the same. This is the most common of all gifts. This gift desires you to, you have desire to free others from burdens and to meet others' needs. They look for needs to fill. And they usually are willing to do anything as long as it's behind the scenes. They don't want to be known. They don't want people to know. They just want to come in behind the scenes and get the job done. They enjoy projects. They're loyal and don't want the spotlight. They're quick to respond to the needs of others. They have the ability to see a project through to the end. Not only if you have this gift and it's truly a gift, you'll not only start the project, but you will not stop until the project is complete. I've watched people who thought they'd had the gift of serving, the gifts of helps, the gift of ministry, but they'll start a project and then they get bored with the project and they want to move on to another project and they don't finish. Well, you don't have the gift. You may see a need and that's your desire to help fill that need, but you don't have the gift. The gift sees the need, gets busy doing the need, whether other people are going to help or not, and they finish the task at hand. Now, they do have a battle. They tend to overcommit because they see so many needs, because they find joy in serving and meeting the needs of the church and others. As a person, you are the person who's willing to do a million and one necessary tasks in the church. You probably do not realize that your love for the Lord is shown every time the doors of the church are open, especially because of the oil you put on the hinges last week so they don't squeak anymore. That's the idea. You're just happy to work behind the scenes. You're loyal, sincere, tolerant, faithful, devoted. Again, you have the ability to listen to others without being critical of them. You're not you don't have the gift of prophecy where you confront. You don't have to give the gift of exhortation where it's gonna be that practical living. You just simply love people. You love working behind the scenes. You love accomplishing something for the Lord Jesus Christ, and nobody else even knows about it. I could list for now about 100 projects that people have come and done, and you know what? Unless you know what we were doing, you wouldn't even know it gets done. That's the gift of ministry. But it is a supernatural gift. It really is. It's the ability to make sure that people and things are taken care of, and it's just your passion to serve behind the scenes. That's the gift of serving, ministry, help. There's a gift of giving. The person with the person who just gives your tithe, and many of you faithful are coming to give your tithe. I give my tithe and beyond that, but I don't have the gift of giving. This is a special gift that some people have. So just because you give a tithe, you think it's like, well, there's a lot of other stuff that I could be doing with this money, but I'm going to give it to the church. That means you don't have the gift of giving. For the gift of giving is someone who can give, and it doesn't even, that thought would never cross their mind, because their gift is in meeting the needs of somebody else. Their gift is seeing that they have a financial means that they can be a blessing in that era, and it doesn't bother them that they don't have it. It never crosses your mind if you have the gift of giving that you just gave a lot of money. There's a lot of things you could have done with that money. That doesn't even cross your mind, because this is given to meet a need or to fulfill God's work. The gift of giving needs no public recognition and has right motives for their giving. I call him the super giver. There's a need and he gives. He has one single motive, and that is the needs of others. The person who has this gift has the ability usually to make wise investments. Along the way, they've been good with money. If you're not good with money, you don't have the gift of giving, because you're not going to have money to give because you're not good with it. If you have a credit card and it's way and you're in debt and you owe this and all that, and that, listen, I can tell you right now, you don't have the gift of giving. The gift of the person that's gifted in giving is good with finances. They're very they watch how they spend their own money because they want to have the idea to give to others. They give to the overlooked needs of others, but in the meanwhile they maintain a budget. As a giver, you probably feel the best way you can give of yourself is to give of your material gain and your work. You know, I know I have some people that I know that have the gift of giving. They give and it doesn't even, and I say, are you sure? I ask them that question, are you sure? You know what? They look at me and say, why wouldn't I be sure? This is what God told me to do. It doesn't even cross their mind. See, I don't have the gift of giving. I just don't have that gift. Now, I don't trudgingly give my tithe. Because I know it's been commanded in Scripture, and not only to give your tithe, but to give your offerings. Because I want God to know that I am so thankful for all that He's given to me. So I don't have a problem with giving. And I don't look back and say, man, I could have had a boat, I could have had a new motorcycle, I could have had this and that. Because if you add up your tithe over a period of 5 or 10 years, it comes out, some of you, it comes out to quite a bit of money. But the giver just has that uncanny ability just to give, and it doesn't matter to him. And I know some men like that, that have kept churches. God has used them to not keep church alive. God gives to the church. And the church can't be kept alive by a person with the gift of giving because it has to be universal, and that's what I love about this church. Now, I don't know who gives or what they give. I stay away from that because I don't want to know. But I know across the whole, I know enough to see my people to know that across the whole, I love it because it's not just two people that sustain the ministry of Faith Baptist Church, it's all of you. That's the way it needs to be. But it's that gift of giving that allows you to do some special projects. It's that gift of giving that the Dillons have $20,000 in their ministry fund in there to use for the people of Israel to give them the gospel to be able to help them out in a special need that they have. And I know Brother Dillon's going to be very wise in who he gives the money to, but he's set that money aside because there's been some people with the gift of giving that see that need and say, I'm going to give to that. There's a special need, and that's why I don't give to projects, but I would give to a missionary. I'd give to one of our missionaries because if we're supporting those missionaries, it's because they're going to do a good job with what we give them. I wouldn't just listen here. You know, you hear it all the time on TV, send money to help the Jews, send money here. And you know what? Probably 90% of that, you know where it goes? Yeah, administration. 10% it goes, but I tell you what, you send money to the Dillons for Israelite, you know how much is going to go to the Israel people? 100% will go because he's raised his support. I love sending money to people who I know where it's going to go. And that's some folks with the gift of giving. It's a wonderful gift. Again, they don't want any public recognition. But yet they've God's blessed them. Because they've been faithful. Listen, God wouldn't give you money if he didn't know he knew you could handle it. And that's why he's given some folks, maybe you know what, somebody said this to me, well, God never made me rich. And I said, it's probably because you couldn't have handled it. But God's made some people wealthy because he knew they could handle it. And he would lay it upon their heart and they would be willing to be obedient to the Spirit of God. That's the gift of giving. Not being faithful with your tithe or offering. Not having a little bit of a burden for our missionaries and the Dillons, but it's the ability to give beyond and not even think about it. Because it's what God wants you to do. You're gifted in that way. There's a gift of showing mercy, and I told you I don't have that gift. There's a young man that was in my youth group. He's the only one that ever almost scored negative in this category. He got a 0, and he changed one answer to make it a -1. You can't get a negative, but if he could have, he is you being used of God in a wonderful way. He has the gift of giving, but he doesn't have the gift of showing mercy. And people think, well, I have the gift of showing mercy. No, it's not having pity. That's not the gift of showing mercy. The gift of showing mercy is the gift where you can act upon that and do something about it. The word mercy comes from the Greek word allos, which means to feel sympathy or for or with others. As a mercy giver, you're willing to deal and minister with people who have needs that most people feel very uncomfortable working with. You just have that ability. You know what? I honestly, I go to the nursing homes, but I dread it. I try to find the shortest route to the room where I'll meet the least amount of people because it just kills me. When you meet somebody in the hall and you know what they say to you? Break me out of here. Get me out of here. I hear that every time I go. Help me. I need to go to the bathroom. Man, that is not my cup of tea, folks. I mean, what am I going to do? Now, my wife, she has a little bit more of the gift of showing mercy than I do. She'll go right up to and talk to them. Me, I just swing on by because I'm going to visit somebody. It's just not my gift. But yet, I need to go. There's somebody in the nursing home, I need to visit them. I need to show them my love. So that's just a command in Scripture. But if you have the gift of mercy, and I don't think people with the gift of mercy are using it enough, you have the ability to make somebody that has needs feel important. That's the gift of showing mercy. You seem to say the right thing at the right time. With your burden to comfort others, your heart goes out to the poor, to the aged, to the ill, to the underprivileged. But it's not that you have pity, but you're willing to do something about it. You tend to attract people who are hurting because you rejoice with them that rejoice and you weep with them that weep. It's simply your goal to remove the stress from others and to share their burdens. You have the ability to give comfort in difficult times. You just have an uncanny ability to make people feel. I read this story a long time ago. A little girl came home from school one day. Her mom asked her this question, how was school today? She said, it wasn't very good, Mom. She said, oh, why wasn't it very good? Well, one of the kids, girls in my class, got a call that their mother died. She said, I felt so bad, I didn't know what to do. So the mother looked at her and said, well, what'd you do? She said, I went over, sat next to her, put my arm around her, and I cried with her. Boy, that little girl, she has the gift of mercy. She said there was nothing I could say. I could only cry with her. Boy, that is a gift, folks. I mean, we always try to say something to encourage them, and I appreciate that, and that's what I try to do. But the gift of mercy goes far beyond that. The gift of mercy displays something that we need in our world today. Not pity, not feeling sorry for somebody, but you have such a burden to make a difference in their life. The gift of showing mercy. See, these are all gifts. And I believe all these gifts are, at least one of them, each of these gifts are in Faith Baptist Church. But it's not only Faith Baptist Church, but it's the body of Christ. Christ wants the body to succeed, and I'm going to show you that after we identify the gifts, we'll show you how the body works, and each member does its part, and when each member does its part, the body works successfully. But if you don't know your gift, that's okay. If you see a need, do it, because that may be your gift. But if we do not apply the gifts, I mean this with my whole heart, if we do not apply these gifts I'm talking about, we'll have just an ordinary church. Now, will it be a good church? Sure. Be friendly? Yeah. we have an enjoyable time and have some activities and some fellowships and yep. But we'll never see the supernatural. We won't see that God thing, that thing that only can be done through the power of the Spirit of God in salvations, in transformations, in marriages being brought back together, in homes being brought together. It's that supernatural we have to see. But you don't even know what to do, and I don't know what to do, but if we would just apply the gifts that we have. So, I don't want you to understand your gift so you can say, well, I don't have to do that because that's not my gift. I want you to understand your gift that if a need rises, you know you should be at the forefront of fulfilling that need. Man, if you have the gift of showing mercy, oh, it's needed today. In our church right now, it's needed more than it's ever been needed before. The gift of mercy, the gift of giving. There's so many needs out there that again, I want to be cautious. You be careful with the needs, but there's needs out there, and the gift of giving can be a way that God's blessed you and organized you into the fact that you can be a huge blessing. Maybe you have the gift of serving and helps, and you just, listen, when's the last time you just saw a need and came up to the church and said, Pastor, I'm going to do this because it needs to get done. It's the gift of helps, the gift of needs, the gift of ruling, the gift of government, the gift of exhortation, the gift of wisdom, the gift of teaching. The gift of, there's so many gifts. We've got just a couple more to give next week. And that'll describe the gifts that are available for you and for me today. Listen, I think I have the gift of wisdom. But I think I have partial gifts of other of the gifts. I know I don't have mercy, but I need to show mercy. I don't have the gift of giving, but I know I need to give. I don't have the gift of a prophecy. I'm terrible at confronting. I don't have the gift of ruling because I'm terrible at delegating. That's why you say, well, you're the pastor. You're supposed to run the church. No. Number one, Jesus Christ runs the church. Then he's gifted you to come alongside me and me to come alongside you to make the church what Christ wants it to be. Oh, I've got a greater responsibility. I've got to teach the scriptures. I've got to keep things organized. I understand my responsibility. But the pastor doesn't build the church. The Holy Spirit builds the church through God's people. You build the church. Coming alongside me and me coming alongside you. That's why this thing of the gifts was being abused in the Corinthian church. Paul knew the church would never mature and become the church it did until it got a handle on the gifts that they could see that supernatural. I hope you have a burden to know your gift. You say, Pastor, I just can't figure out my gift. That's okay. Open your eyes to the need. And in doing the need, you may find out that's your gift. But if you sit back waiting for writing in the sky, waiting for God to tell you what your gift is, you'll never find it. You'll never find it. You'll never help mature the body of Christ and the church of Jesus Christ into becoming what it needs to become, that we could see that precious God thing, that supernatural, that can but only be done. You say, Pastor, well, I couldn't do it. You're right, but the Holy Spirit can. But the Holy Spirit needs an instrument to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And you are that instrument, and you have been given a gift by him if you're born again. Somehow you need to apply that gift for the glory of Jesus Christ. The gift are for today. Let's use them for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these folks. This is the hardest time. I know we went through a lot of deaths because we have an older congregation, but this is one of the hardest times we've gone through with seeing so many people hurting, so many people sick. We've never needed the gifts more than we need them today. We've never needed the gift of giving and mercy and service like we need today. We've never needed the gift of exhortation or the gift of prophecy, the watchdog of the church to confront. Lord, we've never needed it like we need it today. And yet so many churches, I think, are going in wrong directions. I think they're just like the Corinthian church. They were abusing or misusing or unusing their gifts. So God, help us at Faith Baptist Church to desire to know our gifts and apply those gifts. Because you've given us exactly what we need for Faith Baptist Church to be the church it needs to be. So I pray for my people. And I pray for any guests and visitors are here that are born again and know Christ as their Savior. They're here to mature the body of Christ. They're not here to mature Faith Baptist Church right now. But they are here to mature the body of Christ. God, help them to display their gifts in an amazing way to see what God can do through the whole power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. God, use us now. I just ask.